Oh, but happy Pride. You know, it's such a joy to be with you here today to celebrate Pride Sunday here. You know, I think we certainly live in a city that knows something about colour and courage and about welcome and witness. And let me just say before I dive in, I know that we're a very mixed congregation. Some of you may have grown up hearing Pride sermons in church and feeling comfortable and joyful. For others, this might be your first time hearing a sermon like this, or maybe you're still trying to get your head around why we even need one. You know, that's okay. You're in the right place, and I'm glad that you're here. I'd like us to begin with our reading from Ecclesiastes. You know, it's a strange little book, isn't it? And sometimes I think if Ecclesiastes was a Twitter account, it would just tweet things like, "Life is meaningless. Don't bother. Eat something," that's my motto. "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity," says the teacher. "What do people gain from all of which they toil under the sun?" Now, I don't know about you, but I have had mornings, usually Mondays, where that verse feels a bit too real. And yes, here it is in the Bible. That slightly cynical, burnt out, seen it all voice, Ecclesiastes. You know, it feels almost modern, like it knows how exhausting life can be when you're trying to just keep up, trying to prove yourself, trying to stay safe, trying to fit in. But here's what I love about this reading on Pride Sunday. It tells the truth about what happens when you spend all your life doing things that you think will give you worth and then discover it doesn't fill you. The teacher says they built houses, planted vineyards, amassed silver and gold, and yet at the end, it was like chasing the wind. I think that's a really powerful image, chasing the wind. You can't catch it. I mean, you just get tired and windblown. And isn't that what shame does to us? Shame is that feeling that whispers to us that there's something wrong with us, that we should earn our dignity, that we should deserve our place in the world, and that if we work hard enough, behave well enough, hide parts of ourselves deep enough, then maybe we'll be loved, and maybe we'll be safe. But it doesn't work, does it? That's why pride, holy, joyful, defiant pride, is so needed, because pride says, "I am worthy." Not because I've earned it, not because I'm perfect, not because I'm conformed, but because I am a child of God. I'm a human being, full stop. You see, pride in today's context is not the opposite of humility. Pride in today's context is simply the opposite of shame. There's this idea floating around in some corners of church life that pride is sinful. That to say, "I'm proud of who I am," is to set yourself above others. But let's be clear. When LGBTQ plus people say pride, they don't mean that they're better than anybody else. They certainly don't mean that they're better than you. What they mean is that despite what people may say, they refuse to be ashamed of who God made them to be. And that's not arrogance, that's just survival. It's what you get after being told explicitly or implicitly that who you are is wrong, or broken, or not quite beloved. And that's why pride is holy, because the gospel isn't about shame, it's about God's blessings. You know, the first chapter of Genesis doesn't say God created humans and tolerated them. It says God saw all that had been made, and it was very good, very good. All of creation, which includes you and me, all of you, all of us, gay, straight, bi, trans, non-binary, questioning, ace, pan, there are no exceptions in the image of God. There's no asterisks, there's no footnotes. We're all beloved, fearfully and wonderfully made. And pride in this context isn't a sin, it's a sacrament. Look at today's gospel reading from Luke 12, the parable of the rich man and his barns. We hear about this man whose land produced a bumper crop, a big harvest, so much he doesn't know what to do with it. So he says to himself, "I know I'll build bigger barns, and I'll say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. relax, eat, drink, be merry. And you know what? It sounds kind of sensible, right? I mean, after all, isn't that the dream? To finally have enough, put your feet up, retire with a full pension, maybe a nice bungalow in Hove, perhaps a hot tub. But then the twist comes and God says, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded from you, and the things you prepared, whose will they be? Now, Jesus isn't saying that it's wrong to be comfortable. He's not saying we should all live in tents and give away our pensions. What he is challenging, I believe, is isolation. What he's challenging is the way that this guy only talks to himself and about himself. Do you notice that? No neighbors, no friends, no community, no mention of God even. Just me, me, me. He lives in a closed loop. And the tragedy is not just that he dies, it's that he lived his life completely alone. Jesus ends the parable by saying, so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich towards God. And what does it mean to be rich towards God? It means being connected. It means being generous. It means loving well and open-heartedly. It means building tables, not barns. It means knowing that joy is not something you hoard, it's something you share. And that brings me to this wonderful city that I've lived in now for the last 12 years. You know, Brighton and Hove are known for many things. Beaches, quirk, independent spirit. It's long history of radical hospitality. But I think one of the most powerful things about this city for me is that it calls itself a city of sanctuary, a place of refuge, a place where people can show up and say, I need some help, and not be turned away. I mean, seriously, isn't that what the Christian church should be? A home. I found that too many LGBTQ+ people have had to flee their churches to find sanctuary elsewhere. They've had to leave behind communities they've loved because they were told, sometimes gently, sometimes cruelly, that they weren't welcome as they were. And I want to say this clearly. Jesus never turned anyone away because of who they were. The only people he had harsh words for were the gatekeepers, the ones who used religion to control and to exclude or to dominate. And everyone else, well, he welcomed them. He healed them. He dined with them. He partied with them. He loved them. There's this beautiful line in Romans 15 that says, welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed you. And that's our call, church, not to decide who gets in, but to remind everyone that they already belong. And you, dear friends, especially the straight allies amongst us, you have such a vital role to play. Because your voices carry weight in rooms that queer people may never actually enter. Your support opens doors. Your welcome builds bridges. And your love makes the gospel visible. If you've ever wondered what your role is in the Pride movement, let me say this. Just keep showing up. Keep listening, keep learning, keep loving. Because that's actually more powerful than you'll ever know. Pride is not just for LGBTQ+ people. It's a celebration for everyone who believes that love wins, that every person deserves dignity, that the church should be the most welcoming place in town and not the most fearful. And let's not forget that joy matters. Pride's not just a protest, it's a party. It's laughter and music and ridiculous outfits. It's bubble machines and drag queens and banners and brunch. It's a celebration of the God who made every color at the rainbow and certainly did not stop at beige. There's an amazing moment in 2 Samuel where King David dances before the Ark of the Covenant, which is basically the holiest object in all of ancient Israel. And he doesn't just nod along quietly. He dances with all his might, in nothing but his tighty-whities. His wife, Michal, sees him and says, stop, you're embarrassing yourself. And David says, I'll become even more undignified than this if it means praising God. And for me, that's the spirit of pride. Because joy is holy. Joy is resistance. Joy is testimony. There's a quote by the American author Audre Lorde, a black lesbian feminist, who said, caring for myself is not self-indulgence. It's self-preservation. And that's an act of political warfare. To rejoice when the world tries to eradicate you, that's radical. To celebrate your identity when you're told to be ashamed is powerful. And to love yourself as God loves you, that's transformative. And it transforms others too. It transforms those around you. Because when one person comes out, others find courage. When one congregation says, you are welcome, then other churches start to wonder if maybe, just maybe, they could open their doors a little wider too. We're not meant to be spiritual lone rangers. We're meant to be a body, the body of Christ, made up of many parts, different, diverse, sometimes chaotic, and yet beautiful, holy and whole. You know, the rainbow is not just a symbol, it's a promise. Remember what God said to Noah, I have set my bow in the clouds, a sign of the covenant between me and all living creatures. That's not a covenant of judgment. It's a covenant of mercy. It's a promise that God will not destroy, but will preserve. That life will continue. That grace will reign. You know, when we wave a rainbow flag, we're not just making a statement. We're remembering a covenant. We're saying, love wins, shame loses. God is still here. Pride is the opposite of shame. A festival where folk can say, I'm not ashamed to be who I am. Whatever you may say, this is the way God made me. And guess what? I'm proud of God's work. Pride is a sacrament. It's an act of worship when you see somebody in feathers and a skimpy outfit and you can silently pray, Lord, man, that's crazy. I never expected you to make something like that. Pride is an open table. It's a place of sanctuary and hope. A way of flying our colours or nailing them to the mast. Our promise to honour all of God's creation, even that which we don't understand. To stand side by side with those who are on the margins, just as Jesus did. So, to all of you, gay, straight, bi, trans, questioning, closeted, loud and proud, or quietly just trying to figure it all out, you are absolutely wonderful people. And you are God's people. You are God's beloved. I know that you're welcomed here, that you're needed here, not in spite of who you are, but because of who you are. As the great Desmond Tutu once said, you don't choose your family. They're God's gift to you as you are to them, and we are church family. I pray that all churches become that kind of family, a sanctuary, a celebration, a people who chase not the wind, but each other's hearts, and who can say, yeah, we are proud to be the people of God. A very happy Pride to you all, and amen.